Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Cool wall of amazing artists, I see.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artist and let you discover some new ones as well. You can do so at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with Maren Morris. We're going to be getting into the album Humble Quest. That's her latest, how it tells the story of her road to success and the use of specifically personal stories in the vein of classic the classic country of the 60s and 70s. We're going to be talking about, how she found her way to happier songs after coming out of a depression, taking some inspiration from Jack White as a way to kick her writing into gear, and adding a little darkness to her romantic musical moments as well. Maren also going to talk about the future of the High Women. This is the group that includes Brandi Carlile, Amanda Shires, Natalie Himby, as well as Sheryl Crow, Yola, and Jason Isbell. The odds that Americana and mainstream country find themselves in, and the class of musicians that she finds herself in, that includes Chris Stapleton, Casey Musgraves, Eric Church, Miranda Lambert, that's able to carry more creative freedom into the genre. So let's do it and talk about Humble Quest. It's Kyle Meredith with Maren Morris.
Hi, it's good to be here virtually.
Virtually, it's a pleasure to have you here too. And I'm not kidding. This album is just drilled into me, and I can't seem to get enough of it. Just what a great adventure, a beautiful album. I mean, all the compliments.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. I'm just so happy it's out. And the reception has been, I mean, it's bowled me over how warm and positive it's been. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting, but it's always scary putting something that's so, you know, vulnerable and private out, and then to have it be related to on such a massive macro level is very humbling.
That's always been something that, you know, you hear of the two sort of train of thoughts as far as songwriting. Like, do you just make it so universal that everybody can relate, or do you make it personal? For me, I think I've always related when it's the very specific personal story more than, you know, the big grand gesture for some, like, it's your life, but I see, you know, my parts in it as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why I've always gravitated towards country storytelling, is because and I'm kind of more referencing the 60s and 70s country storytelling more so than modern, but because I do think that there's this just having been a working songwriter on Music Row here in Nashville, there is that anxiety of it not being relatable enough, you know, for the old ladies in Akron, Ohio, or you just worry about it not translating. And I feel like when people are really specific and vulnerable about their story, and when they're just talking about something so specific, I feel like that's more honestly inviting in a group of people than trying to so earnestly make it relatable to the millions.
I mean, some of my favorite songs, I think I use the example a lot of like U2 with Pride in the Name of Love. I mean, those verses, Monday morning, April 4, shots rang, you know, like that's telling such a small moment in time and makes the songs for it like those. And I'll pull this into your record here too, because we start off with the story, with a very specific story, with Circles Around This Town. So it's not just a great story, but it is the story of you getting to here. Why was this moment in time the right moment to finally tell this one?
I think it's so interesting we're talking about this, because I remember having that seize up, like, oh, do I get this specific in this song? I mean, I'm name dropping past singles of mine in the second verse with My Church and 80s Mercedes. And I think the voice in the back of my head that's like, yeah, people are not going to relate to this at all, because this is way too much about your story. But I was like, I don't care. I think that it would be a fun exercise to just talk about the shitty car that I had coming here 10 years ago almost, and no AC, terrible demos, thinking that I was going to just blow people's minds with my talent, and then immediately getting checked and knowing that like everyone in this town is talented and you need to get in line. And so I think that I just loved going there, and it ended up being such a favorite of mine listening back when I got the demo back, that I wanted it to be the first single. So it's been cool to see the reception of that song being inspiring to people that aren't even songwriters, because it is specifically, you know, it's almost my love letter to Nashville, the songwriting community. But I feel like whether you're a writer or a painter or a mechanic or whatever you do, everyone's got a dream or a daydream that they're chasing down in their head or what have you. But I think that it's just about that hustle of figuring out your place in a very competitive world, but it's like you're competing with yourself.
And to get to that line, you know, at the end of the verse where you said, thank God I was an optimist, you know, that's the importance of youth and naivety right there. And it'll get you to the door.
Yeah. That like weird sense of arrogance meets confidence meets, yeah, complete ignorance. It's like, it's the best thing about youth is that you think that you can do anything because there's no bar set yet.
By the way, speaking of youth, I meant to say happy birthday, because I think that was just a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, thank you. 32. Yep.
That's in my rear view now, but I'm sure it was a good one.
Yeah, I was working on my actual birthday, but we're going to go to the John Mayer concert tonight and go to dinner. And that'll be my kind of belated birthday evening.
Not a bad way to spend it with Mayer on stage.
Yeah, right.
So you've talked about, you know, going into the record, I think the words you use was sort of a weird, depressing time, pandemic and everything that was going on in your lives and in all of our lives. I think that's why I found it kind of immediately surprising how much poetic love there is across this record, because there seems to be a lot of that on there. Although there was a sadder album before this. Is that the right way to ask that?
Yeah, there were definitely sadder songs that I intentionally left off this project, because I was getting into that really jaded place of it feeling that like there's no point, especially early 2020 when everything shut down and all touring got wiped out. It just felt so forced to try to Zoom co-write, and you know, it was like, what is the point right now of writing songs if we can't play them out in public? And so I was, yeah, just kind of feeling sorry for myself and going through, you know, postpartum and just kind of feeling purposeless for the first time. And also trying to fit into my new role of motherhood. And yeah, I was writing some really depressing music around then. I mean, I'm glad that I made myself sit down and do it, but yeah, I mean, it was definitely a weird time of feeling like, does the world really need another fucking sad song right now? It just didn't feel like an appropriate way of putting that energy out. And so I just gave myself the time to wait and wait it out. And, you know, the great thing about writing is that even if the songs aren't good, it's like, it's still therapeutic. So even if the world never hears some of those really depressing songs I was writing, I got it out, but I definitely wanted to bathe in the sunshine on this record, because it was a practice. Not every day. I think it was Jack White in, I forget the name of the documentary, but it was like him and The Edge from YouTube. Oh,
It Might Get Loud.
It Might Get Loud. It was either that or the White Stripes documentary, but he was talking about writing. And he just said, you know, not every day the skies are going to open up and this like sunshine is going to beam down on you and you're going to get this moment of inspiration and get this brilliant song. Sometimes you just have to sit down, like sit your ass in the room and like make it happen. And it's a practice. And so I feel like I gave myself the time to do that. And eventually, like a muscle that's being used and worked, it gets stronger. And I found my kind of footing again on how to even approach a third album. So yeah, anywho, that kind of went off on a weird tangent, but yeah.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach. Like there's one song I think in particular, it's like you still pull a little bit of that, what you were going through into what you ended up. And that's it in the song Background Music, because here's a beautiful sentiment with a little macabre background going. Like there's a little bit of darkness in there. I mean, the way I think I wrote it down, it's sort of, looking at us once we're gone, considering that, you know, we're not going to be here and what we're left with. I think I'm trying to compliment you, and you painted that in the most beautiful way possible. Where did that idea come from?
Yeah, it's like even when I'm being romantic, I'm still being very morbid. But I love it. I think that's real. I think because my husband and I are both artists and we're both songwriters and we tour and we do the same thing. I think that we're also really competitive, not with each other, but just with ourselves. And, you know, he's had a handful of number ones and so have I. And I think when everything stopped in COVID, we both were just laughing because we were like, wow, we really thought we had control over our destinies and we just don't. And it's a 10-year town is the saying in Nashville. And we were like, just, I think one night on our porch, like, drinking wine and talking about what if in like 20 years, like we're just retired and we're old has-beens and no one gives a shit anymore, but we still have each other and we have those good old days in our minds. But ultimately, like our value within each other and the way that we love each other is not placed within the success stories of our songs. It's like each other. And so I think that's how Background Music came to be. It was my way of saying, I love what we do, but you know, in 100 years, we're not going to be around. And maybe these songs that we wrote in our heyday might stick around. Maybe in the flying cars of the future, it will, you know, pop on to someone's radio station. But I don't know. It felt like a weird romantic way of saying, I love you. And I'll be there even you know, after we're dead, because we're immortalized in our songs.
You just remember also, there's always Branson, Missouri, you know, once the Nashville sunset has happened.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually brought this up in the interviews before, the immortalization of music. There's a thing I learned last year that once your voice is on the radio, once you're projected out on radio airwaves, it never stops traveling through the universe. Like the radio wave never dies. So your songs literally will last forever as long as the universe exists.
I love how trippy that is.
My favorite song on this album, I think today at least, is The Furthest Thing. The harmonies in that, I was instantly finding myself trying to sing along to it before I'd even finished the song for the first time. In the same way, I remember doing that with Alison Krauss's Baby Now That I Found You, and it sort of reminded me a little bit of that right there. And it just, the song, like, it tiptoes along without ever feeling stagnant. And again, I think I'm just throwing the broad question out, like, where did this one come from? Because I absolutely love it.
Oh, thank you. It's actually one of my favorites on this project as well, just because it's so not something that I've visited in prior work of mine. And I think it was just not trying too hard. It was, we wrote it in early 2021 when Ryan, my husband, and I went to Hawaii to work with Greg Kirsten. And that was kind of where he was quarantining with his family, and not a bad place to be for the year. But we just went out there for a month and we're writing a bunch with him in his little kind of makeshift studio in Hawaii. And I had that title written down in my phone for, I think, a few days. I didn't know what it meant, but I sort of liked the double entendre of saying, you know, as touring musicians, just we're constantly, you know, FaceTiming and having to connect just after shows on the phone. And it can be really lonely, you know, when we're doing this thing we love, it's still at times really lonely. And it's work to make a relationship happen and thrive within, you know, literal thousands of miles away from each other. So yeah, The Furthest Thing, like, you are quite literally the furthest thing away from me right now. Like, I'm in, you know, Brazil and you're in Nashville and we're trying to figure out time zones. And then also the line about, it's crazy how we thought by now we would have it figured out, like, but we're the furthest thing from that. And I don't know, just Greg was creating this really beautiful, lush, plucky guitar thing. I can't really describe it because it's just Greg's brain works in mysterious ways, but it was just such a comforting song. And I don't know, I listened to it back when he sent me a bunch of mixes when I got back to Nashville, and that was sort of a slow burner song to me because I instantly forget songs the second I'm done writing them, because it's kind of like it just comes into your brain for a few hours and then it leaves and it clears out for the next one. But when I listened to the demo of The Furthest Thing, I was really struck with emotion and I was like, holy shit, like, where did this come from? And I was like, well, that's definitely getting recorded. So
I'm so happy you did. Again, it's such a great song. And I could go on about so many songs on this record. I know it's still upcoming. You got the tour too. I'm looking forward to that because not only hearing these songs live, but you've got some of my favorite other artists opening, like The Lone Bellow and Joy Ladekin on there. I mean, I'm hoping, like, we played the crap out of the High Women album when it came out around here too. So if those opportunities come up, you know, are you going to take those? Like, what's next for the High Women? Because you got one great album. I mean, tell me there's going to be more.
Yeah, we always joke, like, especially me and Natalie Hemby, we're like, do we just Thelma and Louise it now? If we had this, you know, fun of a first project, like, let's go out on a high note. But I just saw Amanda and Brandy at the Grammys a couple weeks ago. And, you know, it's like, it's so hard with everyone being like kind of living far apart. Brandy's in, you know, Washington and we're in Nashville, but we also all released solo projects within the last year. So I think we're just kind of at this moment devoting our energy to that, but we we're on a big group thread and we always talk about like sending each other new songs that we're excited about that could potentially go in the pot for High Women 2. But yeah, I think we're just keeping in touch and like we're sisters for life, no matter what. But I would love to get back in the studio with them and Dave Cobb. Like it was just such a dream day or week of being in the studio with all these women, with Yola, with Sheryl Crow, like playing bass. It was unreal. So yeah, I will be down the second we can all get our schedules aligned.
It is amazing that all of your records came out all around sort of the same time, or at least within a year. And every single one of them, I think, is fantastic. Like the group that you all put together is just incredible musicianship. You know, how well you work together, but obviously how well you work alone.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why it worked, was because we were all coming from such different worlds. I mean, Natalie being more of a music row songwriter, even though she's been on so many different projects that are outside of country music. I mean, like the Star is Born soundtrack, Labyrinth, she was always just really comfortable wearing the writer hat. She didn't want to be an artist. And then Brandy, obviously being this Americana darling for the last 20 years, I feel like. And then Amanda having such a fun and like imagery based lyricism and quirk, and like Jason Isbell, like that, we all were doing our own things so well. And I think we all respected each other from afar. And then coming together for the High Women, we all just showed each other, like not even in a judgmental way, like we really didn't know what you had gone through. Like you not judging the book by its cover, but maybe the, you know, I feel like Americana and country music as a mainstream are sometimes at odds with each other. I don't know why I'm talking about this now, but it's like, I feel like in some ways, rightfully so, people look down on mainstream country music as being, you know, sellout or cheesy, or, you know, we've lost touch with our roots, with our original outlaws. But I think, I don't know, like, I feel like me and Kacey Musgraves, Miranda Lambert, you know, Stapleton, Eric Church, like there are these artists that are really, like we're really solid in country music, but we also can kind of do whatever we want. And I think there's just a respect that I got from the High Women about, you know, being able to live in both worlds comfortably, because music is music. It doesn't matter. Like the genre label it has or the venue size you're in.
A lot of artists that I absolutely love right there. That's a pretty great company to be in, along with yourself. And Maren, I cannot compliment you enough on Humble Quest. It is a perfect record. So thank you so much for doing what you do. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you. That was so fun. Sorry for my very long-winded answers.
Those are my favorites. So
I'm over-caffeinated. That's the issue.
Awesome. We'll see you out there on the tour. And again, it was great talking to you. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Kyle.
My thanks to Maren Morris. The new album is called A Humble Quest. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. Again, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 interviews a week to keep you up to date on your favorite artist and have you discover some new ones as well. At iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, but also Facebook and Instagram, all 3 of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Good pick. Good picks.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith from Kyle Meredith With. After you check out the latest episode of my show, be sure to check out some of our other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including Standing BTS, a bi-weekly podcast covering all things BTS and ARMY, and The Opus, Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.